Hello everyone, Nexa here at Evolving RPG with another panel discussion podcast. Today I am joined with Greytome and Buck, and what we plan to do in this panel discussion is basically discuss Gen Con 50 that just happened last weekend. And so let's just jump right into it. Let's start off. What was your favorite thing, Buck?
Oh wow, that's well, I don't know. I really enjoyed all the games that we played. I don't know if I have a favorite one. I think I have favorite moments. I think the Blight of Blackwood, when Ray almost killed the entire party. That was a lot of fun. When Ray was losing his mind when we were Vikings, that was also fun. And going up against a necromantic gnome, I can't beat that. So yeah, I mean, I like the games. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this. This is probably my favorite Gen Con so far.
And I have to agree with you. It's one of my favorite Gen Cons as well, if not the favorite. And I have to admit, I was a little bit leery about all the games we're in, but it was amazing. I mean, I just really had a great time. And just how you said, all the games were good. All the DMs were good. It was a really good Gen Con. How about you, Gray?
I got to kind of echo what Buck said, where, you know, the games we played were really something. I mean, I mostly run right now. I'm in one game with a couple of you guys, and I'm running two others. So I don't get a lot of time to be a player, and it was nice to get into three games at Gen Con and be a player, but it was kind of getting back into that role. It's, okay, I got to figure out how I do things, how I solve problems, interact with NPCs. You know, it's different when you're on the other side of the screen and your players are around you. Thoroughly enjoyed that. I thought the exhibition hall this year was just amazing. It was just like, here, take my credit card. You know what? I'm going to go broke. I want everything. So just bundle up one of everything on the show floor, send it out to me. But just some of the vendors were great. You know, I especially like the Flying Frog production games. I've gotten into their games, Shadow of Brimstone, Fortune and Glory. They're doing some great things with expansions. The Indie Press games picked up the Dresden Cooperative game. That was hard to find. I couldn't really get a copy of that one. My local game shop had it, sold out of it. Copies were pretty expensive online. I was thrilled to see it there for a great price. Cool Stuff Incorporated had a copy of a game I've been looking for a long time. That's in limited printing. It's a small game company, DVG Games, a Thunderbolt Apache leader. It was going for exorbitant prices online. People were really kind of jacking the rate up. I was hoping to find it at Gen Con. I was going through up until Saturday, didn't find it, happened to find it on their racks, and was thrilled with that purchase. You know, it's something I've been looking for a while.
How much did you get it for, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, yeah, no problem. They had it listed for $52, which was much lower than what I was finding online. Prices online were running upwards of $80 to $100 for a copy of the game. And they had a $5 coupon in the Gen Con 50 coupon book. So I ended up paying $49 for it, I think is what I ended up getting it for. So worked out great. So I was really happy with that purchase. Definitely one of the highlights of my Gen Con haul.
And since you brought up the exhibit hall, I thought, and for those listening, Gen Con 50, this was the 50th anniversary in 2017, 50th anniversary of Gen Con. This is the only Gen Con since I've been going. I've been going for about 26 years where the convention center was sold out. Well, Gen Con badges were sold out, rather. And what I found amazing was that really the convention hall for me was only super duper crowded and packed on that first opening day. After that, I mean, it was still, it was like normal crowd, but it didn't seem like so super crowded that you couldn't move.
There was something I noticed too. The crowds were really packed. We got there, you know, it was in the first years where we drove up on, well, I think we did this once before, where we drove up on Wednesday night. we wanted to get out there first thing Thursday morning, and we did that. We got up, and yeah, the initial, I'll never forget, it was really something. You've got some good pictures on Evolving RPG of it. It's just, we're walking along. They had part of the crowd roped off. Everybody that was going to try and get into the convention center, into the exhibit hall, there was a rope divider, but the crowd was so big, it was spilling over that. So I remember following you, Nexa, and I lost sight of you. And all of a sudden, they announced, like, hey, it's open. The doors slammed open, and in a mass, the whole crowd just shifts into the hall. And all of a sudden, it's just like a wave of people moving away from me. And there you are. And I'm like, okay. So we kind of got in that tail end of things. And it was that first day, Thursday really was the busiest day. But Friday wasn't too bad. You know, granted, we didn't spend a lot of time in the exhibit hall, but I spent a lot of time on Saturday, and had it right here. I racked up 27,354 steps walking around on Saturday. And I really did notice it, kind of same thing you did, where I didn't see a lot of, it was crowded, definitely. There were a lot of people, but it wasn't packed. They expanded the space out. I'm not sure what they did, but it was comfortable to move around. Yeah, it was busy, but definitely easy enough to get around and see everything I wanted to see and get from point A to point B without any major challenges.
Okay. Yep.
I think myself, Authors Alley was a lot of fun. I always enjoy that, meeting authors again and seeing what new books are out. I always pick a couple of those off the convention floor. So that was a fun part for me. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And one of the key things I was going for was Paizo's announcement of Starfinder. And, you know, seeing that game and picking that up was really kind of one of the go-to things. I really wanted to get a copy of the Dresden Files cooperative deck building game. Wanted to see if I could get either Hornet Leader or ideally Thunderbolt Apache Leader, and I wanted a copy of Starfinder. And I was worried they were going to sell out, but I was glad to see they kind of distributed that. But I want to give a shout out to Ray, who waited in line 2 hours.
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours that first morning on Thursday morning in the Paizo booth, because he's got Starfinder, the GM screen, the maps, the adventures, the source book, everything that they had available for Starfinder. He picked up a copy of it, and he was kind enough to wait, because I pick up my copy of it. He's standing there, he's got these books, and I'm like, hey, Ray, buddy, do you mind picking this up for me since you're going to be in line? So I want to give a shout out to Ray for sitting 2.5 hours in line to help me get a copy of Starfinder. So
now that we have all the positives, Buck, how about you tell us something that you dislike or didn't care for at Gen Con this year?
I don't really have a lot of complaints. I would just say the only time I got like kind of annoyed was the DM on our last game, that game that you and I were in, Ed, when he answered his phone. Like, that kind of bugged me because this is our time. But it was his son, so I guess I can't get that upset. But he seemed a little unprepared. I mean, other than that, the game was fun. I would say it really wasn't much that annoyed me. Like, parking wasn't really a problem. Everything seemed to work out this year.
I would have to agree. You and I talked about this on Saturday, in that the only thing is that the game was good, I agree, but we said next year we're not going to have a game on Saturday during the exhibit hours, because certain people bailed on us because they wanted to see the exhibit hall, which we can understand.
Right, but, I get it.
But other than that, I have to add this in, is that I've been to Gen Con where it seems like people forgot or were allergic to soap. And I think this is the only Gen Con where my nose was only offended like one time. And I think that's amazing considering how many people were there that, you know, I walked past and everything. So all in all, there's not a whole lot of dislikes for this Gen Con. How about you, Grayton?
I really don't have any major complaints. I thought they ran a good program. They ran a good convention. Everything seemed to be organized well. Didn't really have any major problems. I think personally, if being the one to volunteer to drive, and I have to apologize because I really wanted to spend Saturday in the convention hall. So yes, I did bail on a game. I walked away from that, and so I just I got to be more committed to that because those were a lot of fun. But man, I wanted to see that exhibit hall. But really, I think honestly, given the size of the convention. And then having to find parking, I get they do have a parking partner, but a shuttle service I think would be something, if I had any critique of something that would be helpful to me, is to have shuttles running to the various hotels that are farther out. Because you're getting a lot of people trying to drive in, you got to get up early. You know, a shuttle service would, I think, be something that the show big enough to support. If I had any complaint, it would be that. I know shuttle services from the experience I have in my professional life that, you know, working trade shows, it's a challenge. I do get that, but it would be very helpful if there was some sort of shuttle service to get people around. I've been to other shows. It can be done. This one's big enough to do it.
Didn't they do that like 2 years ago where they actually had buses that went from various hotels?
Yeah.
It was like two or 3 years ago, but they didn't have it this year.
No, they kind of got rid of that, and it was one thing I was really thinking that would be nice to have is that you have, and other shows I've been to, they basically have shuttles that run a certain range. You know, you've got hotels to the, you base on the four corners, hotels to the north of the convention center, south, east, and west, and they've got different shuttle routes, color-coded, that are running to hotels along these paths. So something like that, I think, would be the only real complaint I have. Now, we lucked out with some parking. The zoo parking was good. We found one location up the street that I'm going to keep quiet because I'm hoping to use that again in future years. And people listen to this, I don't want to have too much of a come around, but I did find a really nice spot to park downtown. But the zoo, definitely, I parked there one day, was great. But outside of that, I mean, I think one other thing I would voice on behalf of Ray, who's not here, because I know he had an issue with it. There was a game he was very much looking forward to. He went, and that particular game master expected, he had two friends of his that were in the game. Then there were two other players, Ray and one other person. And the game master had apparently told his friends, have your characters ready. Ray shows up, this other guy shows up, and he's like, well, do you bring your characters? And he's like, no, the description of the game says you'll provide everything. So Ray went, and he didn't have his backpack, he didn't have his dice, he didn't have anything. But, you know, when you say in a GM description that everything will be provided, you've got to assume that, you know, people are moving around. You can't make that assumption. Yeah, odds are somebody's going to have dice. You know, I was carrying dice around with me. But not having a character ready to go, that's really something that you need to be ready for. And there's, if you're going to say that you don't need to bring anything, people don't want to roll up characters while you're at the table. They want to get ready to go. If the game's going to start at 5, you know, you want a prompt start. I think we were pretty understanding with a couple games running a little bit over. We were understanding about that. We no hurry, you know, we were good to go. You know, different game masters using different tables, and so it's just not too much of a complaint there. But to voice a concern I know Ray had is that game masters that are saying that you don't need to bring anything to the game, you really need to be prepared and ready for that. And, you know, if it's going to be in your description, if you don't need characters rolled up ahead of time, make sure that you're doing that. If you say you don't need anything, you're going to need to be able to provide everything a player will potentially need to play the game.
Well, since you still have the floor, Grayton, can you tell us or share with us your most memorable moment at Gen Con?
Most memorable. What one would be the most memorable one?
And if you have a couple of them, that's fine too.
Yeah, I think really it's just that first game was that we did. I am locking up where we basically had a murder mystery to solve.
That was Legacy of Mana.
Legacy of Mana. Yeah, the game master that we had in that game. I was really impressed with him. He really got into the roles. You could tell he had a lot of fun doing it. That really got me energized to kind of figure it out. And it was good to kind of get into this. It wasn't a whole lot of physical action. We were really doing not even so much RP. It was a lot of skill challenges where it's like, okay, we've got to figure out the clues of this murder. We've got a time frame to do this in. So
just interject. He was actually role-playing, too, some of the various characters.
Oh, yeah.
And I noticed when I was watching him that when he first came on, he had like a baseball hat, but depending on which character he was in, he would move the hat or take it off. Because when he played the half
Yeah.
elf poet, he took the hair out and he was like ruffling through the hair, and so he it was a really good game.
Yeah, that was a good one. I really enjoyed it. And just for me personally, Authors Alley is always a high point. I enjoy seeing that. There were a couple authors I was hoping might be able to make it. I know Ari Salvatore was potentially supposed to come, but he did have a death in the family, unfortunately, which prevented him from being there. But it's the authors that I see. It's always good to see them. I like meeting them, talking to them. And it's just, gets me pumped up with the writing that I'm doing and, future books to do reviews on, for the site. So it's just, that was really a highlight for me. I always enjoy seeing Authors Alley's work because you go to the bookstore and you see books, and you're like, oh man, to have a chance to talk down someone like, we were just before the podcast started, Ed, we were talking about sitting down and talking with Daniel Stevenson that was in Authors Row. It's great to sit down and talk with him. He talked about a game he's been running for, it was, what was it, 26, 28 years?
28
He's
years,
running
I
a
believe he said.
28, yeah, consistent game running 28 years, That's most of my life, So it's just that he's been playing this, and it's just like, wow, that is really something cool to talk about. So that's a good highlight for me. So I got to really say, if you're going to bullet it down, I can really pull down those two, seeing Authors Row and also getting into the games.
How about you, Buck?
Oh, I really like. I thought that the first DM that we had for Legacy of Mana, I thought he was really good. The guy that ran the Blight of Blackwood, his written descriptions were fantastic.
They were
The
really amazing.
really well written, really smooth, and it was a fun game. And I was even in. I'd say one of my most memorable moments is when we were doing Skraeling Shorefall, which is a very heavy role playing. Like the DM didn't even want us talking about real world stuff. We had to kind of stay in
Yeah,
character the whole time.
exactly. Yep.
So at one point, we're supposed to talk to some natives. So he takes me and two other guys out in the hall, and there's two people on their knees role playing. So at first I was like, I don't know about this. But it really worked. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And, making Ray our leader and the way he played that character, like someone who was immune to fear and didn't back down from everything. And one guy, we had to vote for this, and one guy in the group said, I feel like I voted for Trump when Ray was losing his mind.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
So yeah, that was, yeah, I thought that was a lot of fun. The people in that group were really good. It was just, I had a blast. And I did a read and critique. I brought a sample of my own writing to be judged by some authors, and that went over pretty well. So I think I'll remember that. That'll be a kind of a milestone in like where I'm heading with my writing, hopefully a career. The year before, I met another author who kind of gave me a pep talk, essentially. So yeah, it's nice. I do feel bad about going to Authors Row because I'm not gonna buy any of these books because I can't read them. For those of you who are unaware, I have a visual disability, so I can't read. I have to do audiobooks. So I always feel bad that these people are trying to sell me their books, and I'm just like, oh, well, that's nice, and I just move on. But it is what it is.
Have you ever asked any of them, do they have them in electronic format?
Yeah, I have, and I've bought some of the electronic ones. Some of them aren't aware, like, 'cause I think some of the authors are self-published. I'm not a
Okay.
100%. I'm not 100% on that, so I don't know. Like,
Makes sense.
right? I don't know if they would have access to. I'd imagine it's very expensive to get an audiobook if you're gonna get like a professional voice actor to do it. So, like, audio is the best way for me to do it.
Well, for me, some of the memorable moments was, well, all of the games, they all were different. It's hard to say like which one is could be your favorite because they're all different and they all in their own equal right were very fun and the DM did something different. Like the Skraeling one, I thought it seemed a little weird and disorganized, but before I knew it, I was having a blast
Yeah, it was fun
playing
to
a Viking.
It
I
was
mean,
getting into the rhythm of it.
my character choked Greytone character. I tried to choke the life out of him.
I remember coming back out from the hall, and Eddie is like arm wrestling with the other guy. I just hear Eddie go, or Nexa go, like, what the hell is going on in here?
Yep, we were drinking ale and arm wrestling to see who would be the best.
There's nothing more Viking than that.
And I beat him four times. But, you know, of course, without saying, and I know you guys feel the same way too, I really enjoyed the camaraderie, the late night discussions that we had on a variety of different subjects. I think I learned something new about you guys on this trip as we shared stories. Well, as you guys shared stories, and then I fell off to sleep. They were like bedtime stories.
Oh, God, we were up to like 2 in the morning most nights, you know, so it's just it was some late nights just hanging out and talking and just, I know I brought board games with me, but I'm like, hey, it's good to be able to sit down and talk to you guys. And, you know, we were gaming at Gen Con, so I'm like, oh, really, you know, those didn't really come out at all. But and that's okay, you know, it's no problem. I've got all kinds of time to play board games, but to be able to hang out and talk to you guys was important. So I definitely enjoyed that. So
the other highlights for me was the fact that Ray actually kept promoting the site, and when people were asking me, well, do you have business cards for the website? And I thought, you know, it never dawned on me to get business cards for Evolving RPG. It just never dawned on me. But I thought that, and along with the fact that it's such a small world about how gamers are, because once I made it back, and yesterday I actually found out a coworker was at Gen Con.
Oh, really?
And she said her and her husband went, and I said, oh, I said, well, you know, my friends and I, we go. I said, well, what'd you guys go for? And of all things, and I kid you not, they wanted to go to seminars on game development because they're heavy board game players and they want to make their own board game.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, it's such a small world. So I actually made my first set of friends, and they game like every Friday night, board game wise. But, you know. Cool. So, yeah, I thought all in all, it was a lot of good memories. A lot of good memories.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm going to remember that Viking stuff for a long time. Like, all of it. Like, it really... I never even suspected or expected that Legacy of Mana would be a murder mystery. Like, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I know, and did you hear the DM afterwards saying that it just made me feel so good when you all took out pencil and paper and started writing things down?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, there's been a murder? Let me take out my notepads.
So right.
I had took a critical thinking class last year, and while we were doing the murder mystery, I had remembered that. And one of the things in the class was you had to solve this puzzle on what order certain people go based on being like baseball players. And the teacher kept trying to stress, I don't know what the answer is, but I know what it's not. So just focus on what is not. So what I started doing was writing down who I knew for a fact was not the murderer and why I thought they were not the murderer, which led me come to the conclusion that I came to, which everyone else came to the same conclusion. But I just thought, you know, only at Gen Con.
Right, right.
Good stuff, good stuff.
That was fun. It was a fun time.
And I believe, Buck, your daughters gave us a cool nickname.
Oh, yeah. What was it? Oh, what was it, Ed?
Was it Jinkonians?
Oh, Jinkonians, right. Right. And she played her first, Emily played her first role-playing game. It was That's a Lego Star Wars game. And she really enjoyed it. Molly, who was only 5, was not quite ready for it. But Emily, I was like, would you like to play more games like that? Yeah. I'm like, all right, here we go.
That's cool. Yeah, how'd they like the family fun day? Because that's something we've never really been involved in. But with your kids coming in, Brent, Buck, how did they enjoy that?
I think they did. You know, we only did 2 activities. We did the Lego Star Wars, and then they did this Doodlebots thing. I think you guys saw that. Like the little character they made that could like hold the pens and draw and all that stuff. Yeah, I think they really enjoyed it. And Indianapolis is a fun city. Like the zoo, they had a real good time in the zoo. They went to a children's museum that they really enjoyed. So yeah, there was a lot that I was a little bit worried because, you know, I was going to be away from my family essentially for 3 days. But they were fine. They found stuff to do and everything worked out. So yeah, they're coming back next year. So.
And this was the first Gen Con where my sister actually asked, because she wanted to come up for a day, but I said, well, can't, because they're sold out.
Yeah.
She wanted to do the My Little Ponies. So then she asked that we all do the My Little Ponies and give her the My Little Ponies, but, you know, that just wasn't going to happen.
Oh, no. We're Vikings, dude. We don't play with ponies.
Yeah, Vikings, come on. So.
Vikings.
Although buying the Buffy the Vampire Slayer game, because I was buying it for your sister, Nexa, you know, you give me like, hey, can you swing by the booth, pick that up? Yeah, no problem at all. I can do that for you. So I go over there, and you know, hey, I followed. Now I didn't watch much Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but I was a big fan. I watched all of Angel, so I'm like, hey, I'm not unusual in this thing. And they kind of, I walked the desk where they were, or the table where they're paying for everything. It's like, hey, can or. Where they're taking the orders to pick up the game, and he's like, can I help you with something? And I'm like, yeah, I'd like to get the Buffy the Vampire Slayer game. And they kind of look at me, and I'm like, hey, come on, man, I'm cool too. You know, so I'm hip, so just, yeah, so that was fun. So it was a good time all around. I gotta say, I give them kudos. It was a huge selection of board games, huge selection of role-playing games. I guess one complaint I got to throw out there, and, you know, nothing anybody can really control, is would have been nice to see Wizards of the Coast there. You know, this is the second year in a row where they had no presence whatsoever. If you wanted to buy those books,
I agree.
You know, there were other things there like Dragonfire, which is a cooperative board game that came out, but and some of the source book material. But really, you know, you had if you wanted to buy a player's handbook there, you had to find one of the other vendors that was selling the player's handbook. But yeah, Wizards of the Coast really. Especially even Gen Con 50. This is the convention that Gary Gygax started, you know, 50 years ago, and they weren't here in any shape or form. And, you know, it's disappointing that, you know, you go there, a lot of people travel around, and they're not there. So, just one beep I had.
Yeah, that is sad. Hey, I know you're going on beeps, but I was going to actually ask you, Buck, do you have any regrets? Or anything. Well, I guess we'll use that term. Do you have any beefs or regret?
Well, I wanted to say, you know, this is our first year that we got into games. So I was kind of a little worried about the scheduling. So I think for next year, on Saturday, we'll leave Saturday afternoon open and schedule games for afterwards. Because, like, for me, just the exhibit hall is kind of a waste of time. Like, I can't really see anything, and I kind of go to Gen Con to game. But I can't, like, make everybody do that. You know, it's, you know, you guys pay for your tickets. You do whatever you want to do. So, yeah, it's like, you know, we learned this year. We had a lot of fun with the games. We'll just schedule them a little bit smarter next year.
For me, the only thing, I guess my only regret is that two items that I really wanted to get, I should have got them instead of being cheap and deciding to wait. And that was the Gen Con 50 badge holder that was golden that they sold out. And then it was those diamond gemstone dice that look like they glow in your hand. Something should have told me when a total stranger walks up to me, doesn't even work for the dice company, said, these dice are awesome, you should get them. I should have got them. Because the next day they were sold out. And then my final regret is that next year, I still want to get into games with everybody, but I do want to get in True Dungeon because my friend Jeff, who works for True Dungeon, you know, he's there every year. I go visit him. I would at least like to play True Dungeon again and support him.
It's been a number of years since we did it. I remember that one time we did it, and that was a fun experience.
Yeah, it's been like a decade.
Yeah, exactly. That was like one of the first. Well, they did. They had True Dungeon. They had like a Marvel Superheroes one too that year.
How long is True Dungeon?
I want to say that it might be two and a half hours.
Okay.
most likely too.
It depends, because when we were playing it, it was me, Nexa, Chris was there. Who else was in that group that year? We had a couple of us that were playing, and I know Chris got knocked out early, or we thought he got knocked out early. I died failing a saving throw trying to cross this corridor where there were high winds. And when you die, per se, in the game, you have to wait in the inn. You can leave, but, you know, if you've got friends in there. Chris actually ended up not dying and getting caught. He actually got taken out and guided to another part. So they actually ran to him later in the dungeon. So how long the game actually runs is going to depend on some die rolls. And the year I did it, I was playing a wizard, and you had to remember a sequence of shapes to cast spells. So when you would cast a spell, the game master was following along with you, would have a chart and say, okay, what's the sequence of symbols for fireball? And it's like, okay, I gotta remember what sequence of symbols they are. So and he had a, I got a card, and it's like, okay, it showed the symbols, but I had to figure out what order they would go in. So it was cool the way they did it, you know. So definitely something I'm interested in doing again.
You actually had to memorize your spells.
Yeah,
it literally had to memorize the spells. So I guess that's one regret, like not getting into True Dungeon again. But I mean, really, I gotta say the pluses outweighed the negatives. And if there's anybody listening that hasn't gone, is considering going, you definitely got to go. I mean, it is fun to go with a group, you know. We've gone years where we had several years with just three of us that were going. You know, so you get a small group together, at least get a friend. Because I think it's something that, you know, if you've got some people to hang out with, it means a little more. But I know there was one player in the Scrolling Shore game that we were in, and he had gone to Dragon Con a lot of years, but it was his first year going to Gen Con. You know, he was kind of acclimating to, you know, what this convention was like. So I really enjoy Gen Con. I have a lot of fun going. This year it coincided with the solar eclipse. So after Gen Con, instead of heading home, I headed south and saw a totality of the eclipse. So it was a fun lead into that. But once again, just a great year to go and a great time. And I enjoyed hanging out with all of you guys. You guys really made Gen Con for what it was. I mean, you can go to Wizard World, which is coming up this weekend here in Chicago. There's C2E2 here in Chicago. You know, there are conventions I can go to other times of the year, but really nothing holds a candle to Gen Con. And that's really with the group that we've got that goes and everybody we hang out with. I mean, you guys really helped make Gen Con what it is for me.
That's how we roll, man.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Okay. Does anyone have anything else to add? Just an open discussion.
No, I think that covered. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was just thrilled with the selection of vendors there this year, with the exception of Wizards of the Coast not being there. It'd be nice to see them. But just the selection of games, it was just phenomenal. The new games, I didn't really sit down this year and do any demos. I watched a lot of demos being played. Got to walk along, check out a lot of new games. Like I said, I picked up the two that I was really looking for. But then there's always every year I go and I'm like, you know, Dragonfire really kind of caught my eye, and I'm like, man, that's another good one, it looks like. So, we're getting into some board gaming, and
you know, normally I like demos too, but once we were into the role playing games, I didn't really feel a need to do any demos. Nothing really like jumped out at me. Well, the Buffy did, but since they weren't actually demoing it, nothing really jumped out at me. I had got all of my cravings playing the role-playing games. You were going to say something,
but... Yeah, I think you get that kind of your system.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, no, I think that kind of gets out of your system. But, Buck, what were you going to say?
I can't remember. Sorry, guys.
No worries. I think I'm talking enough for both of us.
I got a beef that you can't remember.
No, I just I really enjoyed the games, and yeah, I didn't really have to sit down and demo games. It just seeing them out there, it's being able to get my hands on them and check them out. You know, I could have spent a lot more money there. You know, I kind of had a budget that I went into Gen Con with. Like, I had a number in my head, But, you know, and I went a little over that this year, not by much. But, you know, it's stuff I'm going to use over the course of the coming year. You see all these new games, you're like, oh, I'm going to buy that, I'm going to buy that, I'm going to buy that. And it's just, okay, you know, I've got X amount of time to play all these games over the course of the year downtime. But I could have probably opened up a mortgage payment with Flying Frog Games if I started buying everything in that booth, because I could have blown my entire Gen Con budget, and that would have been the first morning on Thursday. And I was really kind of, okay, I was looking for some supplements, and I'm like, okay, I can pick out some of these things, but I'm like, okay, can't have everything. I'm like, although this stuff would be so cool to have. It's just got it under control.
That reminds me, I'm going to update the Gen Con survival tips next year, because I stood in line with Graytome at that Flying Frog or Leapfrog or whatever it's called, whatever that place is called. I stood in line
Flying
with
Frog,
him,
yeah.
Flying Frog, and I saw a guy buy so much stuff that I knew it would wipe me out, all the cash I had on me. He had a lot of stuff, and then his credit card gets declined.
Oh, really?
Yep. And I think it's because of the fact that he probably did not inform them that he was going to Gen Con. And they probably put a hold on it because it probably seemed fraudulent. So I'm going to add that for my tip next year.
Ray mentioned that he had that issue last year, that he had to call his credit card company to let them know that he was, you know these purchases are right.
I just went with cash. It makes it so much easier. What'd you say, Greg?
I was just saying, that's an interesting conversation to have with Visa. I'm like, okay, maybe a Gen Con? Like, what the heck is that? Okay, it's a long story, but I think another thing with the survival guide is that, a lot of people, I think, were looking at, okay, there are things there, I don't want them to sell out. And I know the Flying Frog booth, Paizo, they sold a lot of the stuff they had. I think they sold out Starfinder. Paizo did a day one, just before the show, what their booth area looked like day one, just before, and then on Sunday, day four, just after it closed, and the amount of stuff that they sold through. And Flying Frog was saying, because I went back to like on Saturday and was like, oh, I think I'll pick up a couple more of these expansion packs, sold out. I mean, it was amazing the stuff that they moved through, and but on the same note, that Thursday morning, Nexa and I sat in line for probably half an hour to get into the Flying Frog booth. And then the next day, we just came walking by and we're like, okay, we're able to get right in. Some a lot of stuff had sold out or some of it sold down, but I noticed a lot of vendors this year, apparently. I know the company that made the Harry Potter deck building game, I tried twice to get one of the expansions for it, and they did tell me that they were selling 150 copies of the expansion each day. That way, everybody got a chance to get it. Now, unfortunately, by the time I got there, they had sold out both days. They were looking for it, but, Paizo, I know, was only doing so many copies of game per day. After some, I guess they got some negative feedback from last year, so it was interesting, but, you kind of want to judge your time early on when you're, okay, what do I really want to get? What's going to be really hot that's going to be flying off the shelves, that I got to hit first thing versus, okay, because I wanted to walk the entire exhibit hall, figure out what I wanted, and then make a second walkthrough and pick up those things I kind of pinned down. So
that's actually how I like to do it. I actually like to walk the entire exhibit hall just the first day, and then I'm kind of where how like Ray is. I want to go back like not the last day, but maybe the day before, and see, just kind of like finalize. You know, sometimes you feel like you want you really do feel like you want to do some bartering sometimes. See if you can make those checks and get them to discount it. But I've only done that one time, and that was when I bought the chess set like 2-3 years ago. I got the guy to come down like $20. But beyond that, yeah. Yep. Buck, do you have any final thoughts?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Buck.
No, I just, I'm glad that we got into some stuff this year. And I hope we continue to do that going forward. It was a lot of fun. I think we're all going to remember these games for a long time. So hopefully we, in the future, create more memories.
And before we close it, just a question to you guys. Just spitballing it out there. But do you think Gen Con will sell out next year?
I'm gonna say no. Just cause I think the anniversary probably attracted a lot more people. But I hope it continues to be as popular as it is.
How about you, Gray?
Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with Buck there. I don't know if it's necessarily going to sell out. I think it's. I think their attendance is going to continue to grow. Because there now, what could happen is they would, because they have. If you notice this year, this was the first year where they were actually running events in Lucas Oil Stadium. They never really did that in the past. Last year they had a party on the field there. Last year that was the only thing. This year, True Dungeon was there. It was an active part of the convention, along with all the local hotels being connected in and being used. So the convention is definitely growing. But I agree with Buck. I think the 50th anniversary really drew a lot of people in that wanted to get to Gen Con to be there for that moment, be there for that historic anniversary. It'll be interesting to see if that continues to go. If they come back again next year, if they see this, or if it was just like, hey, I normally, like the one gentleman who came to Gen Con this year for the first year, he's been going to Dragon Con for years. This is the first year of Gen Con. Be interested to see if he comes back again next year to Gen Con. So I know I will be, but, whereas Gen Con is really devoted to gaming, Dragon Con, C2E2, Wizard World, these other conventions, a lot of those are really more to the comic book collector, or autograph seeking audience, whereas Gen Con's really, it's the gamers convention. If you want to come here for board games, tabletop role playing, miniature combat, wargaming, whatever it is, there is an event, an activity, or a vendor set up for you. Really interested to be back again next year. So it'll be interesting to see if they sell out. So I'm not too sure if they will, but it's interesting to see what happens next year.
I'm going to be partial and agree with you somewhat. Well, agree with both of you somewhat that I don't believe that it will sell out completely, but I do think they may sell out a day or two, because what I'm thinking is that a couple of people probably couldn't make it this year will probably go for a Saturday or Sunday, and they may sell out of passes for those days. But I don't think the convention will be completely sold out. I just think they may sell out for a day or two.
Yeah, I think I saw it was like 200,000 people. More than 200,000 people attended this year.
It really didn't seem like... I mean, I know they were there, but...
right.
I guess since it was so spread out over all the different things, because we never even made it to Lucas Stadium. And I wanted to see... Because I wanted to say that they had some type of museum, like, of the original Gen Con.
They had a lot of this collectibles and nostalgia stuff from the early years of TSR, the early conventions, pictures of the older conventions, things like that. So definitely something we just didn't get a chance to get down that way this year. So there was so much going on. We didn't really get that way. I didn't get out to the writer symposium. That was something that was kind of on my hit list that I wanted to do. But between Author's Alley and then the exhibit hall and running the games that we're doing, it's just, my schedule was filled.
Good times. And definitely coming for us, coming the day before was very beneficial.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That definitely good idea coming up that night before. So we're well rested. We got moving on Thursday and we're out and running. So.
Well, I thank both of you all for your times, and I will give the floor over to Graytone for final thoughts, and then to Buck for final thoughts, and then we'll end this podcast.
Thank you, Nixon. Well, once again, thanks for hosting it and the driving force behind Evolving RPG. really enjoyed this one. I was looking forward to this recap of Gen Con because a lot of good memories. You know, once again, I counted up the badges I had, and this was my 18th Gen Con I've been to. And I've saved all the badges over the years, and one day I'm going to put them all together, but a lot of memories there. And, you know, I look back, recently there was one of these Facebook things, like the memories you shared over the years. And I don't normally share those things, but this time I did because it was all group pictures of us from years at Gen Con. And I've got them going back to Milwaukee when it was there. And every year we took a group photo, and it's just, you know, kind of grown with this show, you know, 18 years, you know, that's a lot of time, but terrific memories, great friendships, and I am looking forward to Gen Con 2018. So hopefully be able to go to it. So just God willing, I'll be here, and I'm already planning for it.
But it's just, I love being in an area or you know, essentially everybody in the city, it seems like, is into gaming. I remember when we were leaving the Viking game, which ended at midnight, we're walking past people who are talking about +2 bonuses and saving throws, and it's just because, like, in normal, you know, you don't really talk about this kind of stuff when you're around people who don't game, like they don't understand it. It's kind of foreign to them. But it's nice to have 4 days where you could just geek out, and it's just a ton of fun. And man, the games were a blast this year, and like Eddie brought up and Tony brought up, the late night conversations were a lot of fun. So you know, hopefully, like, we keep this ball rolling. Like, I almost didn't come this year. Like, I was kind of considering not coming, but I was like, I'll give it one more try and see if we can get into some events. And I'm glad I did. I'm very glad I did.
I'm glad you did too.
Hey, thanks, Ed.
Yeah, glad to have you there.
Well, with that being said, as you guys have said so eloquently, I'm looking forward to Gen Con 2018. I'm looking forward to getting into more games and just making it better and better and better. Because that is the one time that it truly is the best 4 days of gaming. So,
absolutely.
I would like to thank both of you all again for your time. I appreciate it. And I would like to thank you, the listener, for actually listening to this podcast. And if you went to Gen Con, please feel free to post in the comment sections what your thoughts, likes, dislikes about the Gen Con is. If you want to go to Gen Con or you have questions about Gen Con, post them in the comment section and maybe you'll get an answer. So with that being said, just don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Evolving RPG. And take care, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.